and other committees, et cetera. And so I was just about to say, because she looks so anticipatory out there, and so we're just going to hear Senator Olson's bill last. But but we're not. We're going to hear Senator Olson's bill first.
Thank you, Senator Rest.
You look so anxious, Senator Olson.
I'm probably no different than anyone else, but I have two other committees going on simultaneously that I'm presenting in both, so I really appreciate that.
That's fine.
And I always like to start anything I say about this bill by saying that I am listed as the chief author, but it was really as a result of a tongue cross between myself and Senator Erickson Ropes. We both are very involved in, or have been very involved in, the drafting of this bill and in the process of moving it forward. But this is Senate File 485, and this is a bill that establishes a study group for a statewide health plan purchasing pool. And the idea is that this would be a voluntary pool that anyone around the state ultimately would be able to join. It's not subsidized with tax dollars. And
Senator Olson, what we really need to know is for you to go through the guidelines
worksheet
for advisory committees and work groups and show us where you have met the guidelines.
Thank you, Senator Rest. The guidelines that I received from your office.
You have an amendment.
Yes, I do. I have the, I'd like to first move the A9 amendment.
Senator Olson, you're not a member of the committee, but
sorry.
Will take it up.
If someone would be willing to move the A9 amendment for
Senator,
me.
Senator Larson moves the A9 amendment, but since this is not the first committee, we will need you to discuss it before we act on it. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Basically, the A9 amendment, the purpose of that amendment was to add provisions to the bill to meet the requirements of this committee in terms of tightening up the language in determining who would be making certain appointments. We did add a number of members to the membership to the study group. Basically, from line number 1.19 through 1.31, those were new members who were added as a result of some concerns that were raised in the Healthcare Policy Committee about making the representation more inclusive and more bipartisan. And so that was a change that was made. The other changes that were made were with relation to who was going to convene the committee, the staffing needs, the removal and how vacancies would be dealt with, and they'll align to allow for an appropriation for staff support and expenses. So basically, those were the types of changes that were made. Other than the inclusion of the additional members, there really wasn't anything of a policy nature that was changed with the bill.
Senator Olson, I don't believe I've ever seen a bill that names the author of a piece of legislation as a member of the committee as opposed to being appointed by the Speaker or the Senate Committee on committees.
Well, Senator Rest,
that important?
That was a point that actually was made in the prior committee as well. And as long as no one had made an amendment to take it out, we left it in there. I guess because the authors of this have a definite direction that we'd like to see. This is an optional health care plan, and the reason that there's a lot of detail about the direction that we want this study, the type of plan we want them to be able to come up with, is because we want this to meet the parameters of this legislation. And so having the author involved in that process, that was the reason for it. But certainly I understand that it is unusual, and I would imagine it would be up to this committee to decide whether it was so unique that you you know, would rather not have that involved.
I've never seen it before. I think we're going to probably amend your bill here. But I also think or would recommend to our members that the that we leave the appointments to the speaker, the minority leader, and the subcommittee on committees. Let's see. Help me here, Senator Gerlach. We had, how long is this going to last?
This would last until January of 08.
So it it's a short-term commission.
Yes. Short-term. Actually, February 1st of 08, so that there would be time,
5 or 6 months, right?
That's
so
correct, Madam Chair.
This is a short-term one. One of the guidelines that we have had that's not in here is that when that's the case, that we would leave the appointment so it can be done quickly to the majority leader in the Senate and the minority leader in the Senate and the Speaker of the House and the minority leader. And it seems to me you have, is it the case that your chief House author is a Democrat?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so that would be one majority person there. And then the chair of the committee would be another Democrat in the Senate. And then you had a third member appointed by the subcommittee. So you have six senators and six senators and six representatives. Is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
And you expect that that representation is evenly divided. There's 12 people on this, 12 legislators on this study group. Is that correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Then I would suggest that council make an amendment, draft an amendment for us that says three members of the majority party in the Senate appointed by the majority leader, three members of the minority party in the Senate appointed by the minority leader, three members of the majority appointed by three members of the majority party appointed by the Speaker of the House, three members of the House of Representatives from the minority party appointed by the minority leader of the House of Representatives. So you could leave in six and seven as they are, it looks like to me, Mr. Bodern, and then just change these ones up here at the top.
Madam Chair, if you give me a minute, I think it'd be easier just to consolidate everything in the first two clauses.
All right. However you do it. And then Senator Gerlach, Senator Larson, following that?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense? Senator Gerlach?
Can I ask you, were you intending also to delete line 9, the chief House and the Senate offices in this act?
Yes.
Just incorporate those.
Yes.
And they can lobby their respective leader to put
them on there. And even to the point that it may be that the chairs of those two committees may also have someone else, but it'll be up to the subcommittee on committees to make those appointments.
Madam Chair, so what you're suggesting we would end up with then is basically six Democrats and six Republicans of the legislators who'd be sitting on the committee?
That's the way you have it in terms of its practical result.
Okay. Well, once we've eliminated, you mean after we've eliminated the authors?
Okay. The chief House author and the chief Senate officer. Okay, that's two Democrats right now.
Right.
The two chairs of the committees in the House, in the In the Senate is another two DFL senators. So that would be three. And then there's another member. Okay, it must be eight legislators
right.
you have on this.
Right. I misunderstood you, Madam Chair, because the way we had this originally, we had eight Democrats and six Republicans. And I'm concerned that if we have a 3-3, if we have 6-6, what we're likely to end up with is some gridlock here. And what we're trying to do is propose a direction for an alternative health care plan that allows, this is a health care plan that I anticipate is going to be somewhat controversial in that the government would be acting as the administrator of the plan. It's an optional pool.
And why? How about four members appointed by the majority leader and the Speaker of the House, and then three and three? Mr. Bodern?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure as far as we're tracking the membership here. I just want to call to your attention. If you're looking at page one, lines 18 and 19, I'm not sure how we're arriving at the total of eight, because those members are actually representatives of health care providers that are appointed by respective legislative appointing authorities.
Okay.
Oh, these aren't legislators here.
Okay, so those are in line 117, that's a public member. Right,
right. That's correct. So you're correct. We do have three members. We do have an even split here, and I guess if we're going to be if I could make the suggestion, Madam Chair, that we leave it with if we could have three members appointed or a total of six members appointed by the Democrats, and if we could change it to two members each, because otherwise I'm afraid what we're going to do is we're not going to end up with enough consensus to move this forward.
Okay, how about five from each body, three and two?
I think that we have way, way too many legislators on this, and I don't know.
I would agree.
There are three. Okay, so that would be 10?
10.
No.
Yeah. Three and two and three and two. There'd be 10 legislators.
Madam Chair, that's right. Another alternative would be three members from each body, two from the majority in each and one from the minority.
Okay,
Madam
so there'd be six. That would make it six legislators.
Three and I would think that would be adequate, Madam Chair, because
two and one and two and one.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, and then three representatives from health care providers. And then starting with 8 through 12. Mr. Bodern, how quickly can you do that?
Madam Chair, I think in about another minute I'll have something ready.
Okay, and we don't want since we're not having, referencing the chief author in the convening authority, I would suggest why not the attorney general or his or her designee to be
that.
Just to convene the meeting.
And then as the vice chair, would you suggest the appointee of the
chair? Then I would suggest you have the group select their chair.
Okay.
So we're going to have an amendment that's going to read basically the attorney general or his or designee shall convene the first meeting of the study group. The study group will choose a chair at its first meeting.
Okay.
Okay. that done. We have the appointment time of it, when it has to be done. You have its duties then.
The duties are set out in subdivision 2, beginning on page 2.1, Madam Chair. The staffing is subdivision 3. Subdivision 4 addresses removal, vacancies, expenses. Subdivision 5 sets the expiration date.
Since this is a short-term group, the issue of vacancies is not doesn't work under 15059. So
it's just automatic by the same appointing authority in case somebody had to leave for whatever.
Okay, that's all it refers to? Okay. All right, we can leave that in. And, okay, the section expires after the submission of the report. Mr. Bodern, do we have a resolution to the membership?
Madam Chair, I think I can give it a try here.
Okay.
On page 1 of the A9 amendment, delete lines 9 through 14 and insert paren 1, close paren, 3 members of the Senate, 2 from the majority party appointed by the majority leader, and 1 from the minority party appointed by the minority leader, semicolon, clause 2, 3 members of the House of Representatives, 2 appointed by the Speaker of the House, and 1 appointed by the minority leader of the House of Representatives. And that earlier reference to the House should be the full reference to House of Representatives. Then you delete lines on page 1 of the amendment, lines 21 through 24, and with the instruction to renumber the clauses appropriately. And then at the bottom of page 1, I think it would be easiest just on line 34, delete everything after B, and delete lines 35 and 36, and insert the Attorney General or her designee shall convene the first meeting of the study group, period. The study group shall select its chair at its first meeting.
Okay, that is Senator Larson's
that's my motion.
Motion to amend. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
This is to amend the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Is there any further discussion of the A9 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves adoption of the A9 amendment as amended. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Olson, we seldom also put into statute, or even in this instance, a non-codified section, findings or purpose language. And this committee routinely removes that language.
Madam Chair, I understand.
Senator Larson moves that Section 1 be deleted. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. We now have the first engrossment of Senate File 485 before us as amended. Is there any further discussion on this bill? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify either in support or in opposition? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves that Senate File 485 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Rules, because it has legislative members. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Good afternoon.
Senator Norton, welcome to the committee. We have Senate File 1540. Before we do that, we had established a quorum, and we had the minutes from the Friday, March 16th meeting. Members had an opportunity to look them over. Senator Vickerman moves approval of the minutes from March 16th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senate File 1540.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm bringing forward today a Senate File 1540, which talks about two different groups that are already formed here by statute. One is the Drug Oversight Council, as well as the Financial Crimes Oversight Council. And what my bill does is basically add two legislators to the oversight of each of those committees. I come to you today with the experience on one of the committees, the Gang and Drug Oversight Committee, which I sat on for quite a few years. And after I've been here for some time, it's quite evident to me that that there probably needs to be a little more information coming to the legislature from these particular committees than probably what's gone on in the past. And that's not to say that this legislative body hasn't dealt with it. Otherwise, there wouldn't be these oversight committees to start with. But my legislation would basically just put two legislators on each committee. And I think this is a legislation action will put in place a more defined conduit from the hands-on folks that work out there on what's turning out to be, always has been, very serious types of crimes that are increasing in the state of Minnesota. And I might add, too, that being this bill came from myself and nobody else, I would make it very clear to this body that I would not be one of those members, because I already know quite a bit about it. So I think it would be foolish, counterproductive for me to sit on this type of a committee. So I did go through the 14 questions with regards to this committee, and all 14 of those are actually addressed by statute.
This is great. Thank you.
Okay. And three of them new additions, of course, are just simply the two new members to each one after the second question, total number of members, and you may have that in front of you. And the other one would be, of course, the accountability. The bill establishes a required report by February 1st of each year to the legislative bodies it pertains to. So,
Senator Gerlach's not here, but I think he would want to know why you wouldn't have wanted to have a sure representation by the minority party by having two senators and two representatives. Just a question. You can have it.
I guess you know. Quite frankly, I don't know that it's a real issue. I don't think this the stuff we're talking about here is
partisan.
Okay. Really, quite frankly, I think it's just there's going to be four other legislators that know the seriousness about what these people bring before you every 2 years, and I can't emphasize enough just how we really have to stay on top of these issues. Not that they're any important in anything else, but they are very important, and they need to be addressed. So,
Senator Gimsey moves that, move the bill, and I'll ask for discussion. Moves that Senate File 1540 is amended to be recommended to pass. Is there discussion among the members? Is there anyone in the audience?
Madam Chair, just quickly, if I read this right on page 3, the legislative member of the council may not vote on matters before the council. What are they there, just for learning experience?
Yes.
Okay.
It just wants them there to be communicated
with. More or less report back to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's right, Senator Vickerman. Anyone in the audience wish to testify in support or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, Senator Gimsey renews his motion that Senate File 1540, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules, reason being because it adds legislative members. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very
Madam
much,
Chair.
Senator.
Committee. Thank you.
Senator Fischbach, we We have a list, and we'll go by the list, but if we see senators in the room and the other folks aren't here yet, we'll just take them. Senator Fischbach, you are bringing us Senate File 1215. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. And, Madam Chair, Senate File 1215 is an agency bill, and so I've got someone from the department here to explain the portion of the bill that pertains to this committee.
Thank you, Senator Fischbach. If you'd identify yourself, please, for
Madam
the
Chair, members of the committee.
Committee, and we will be pleased to hear your testimony.
My
is it
name
Ms. Olstad?
My name is Janet Olstad. I am with the Minnesota Department of Health, and I'm here to speak to the MCH Advisory Task Force that is set to sunset on 6/30/07. Senate File 1215, Section 8, extends the MCH Advisory Task Force until 6/30/2011. This advisory task force is charged with advising the Commissioner of Health on the needs of mothers and children and effective strategies to meet those needs. The advisory task force has provided the Commissioner of Health with valuable advice and recommendations for the past 25 years. Members are equally represented between the maternal and child health care providers, local public health organizations, and the community. Task force has 15 members and meets four times a year. The task force is also used by the department to meet some of our federal MCH block grant requirements for public and community input into our application process.
So, Ms. Olstad and Senator Fischbach, this is an active task force that meets regularly and is accountable to the
Commissioner of Health
department. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Senator Day moves that. Oh, are there questions? Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to testify either in support or in opposition of the issue under the jurisdiction of this committee? Seeing none, Senator Day moves that Senate File 1215 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank,
thank you
very
you,
much,
Chair.
Senator Fischbach. Anybody else here besides me?
We've got Senator Larson.
Senator Larson? He's not here. Am I it?
You can be it. Otherwise, it's all members who are coming from other committees.
Okay. We're going to... While we're waiting for Senator Saxhog, we'll take Senator Saxhog's bill. Senate File 420, is that correct, Senator
Yes,
Saxhog?
It is. Saxhog? Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate File 420 is the DNR firewood ban bill. With me today is Bob Tomlinson from the DNR Division of Forestry to explain the rulemaking provision in the bill and answer any questions that the committee may have.
I'm waiting to get a copy of the bill, Senator Sachs, just a moment. The reason that this bill comes before this committee, Senator Saxhog?
Madam Chair, Mr. Tomlinson, that is going to explain the one rulemaking provision. That
oh, because it has rulemaking. Okay. Mr. Tomlinson, welcome
Madam
to the
Chair.
Committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, my name is Bob Tomlinson. I'm with the DNR Division of Forestry. The reason the bill becomes before you is to do with Section 2 of the bill, Paragraph B, where it says that the Commissioner of Natural Resources shall by written order published in the State Register approve firewood for possession on lands administered by the Commissioner, and the order is not subject to the rulemaking provisions of Chapter 14. Basically, the DNR desires to put these firewood restrictions in place as soon as possible after the passage of the bill, and you'll notice that the effective date at the end of the bill is following enactment as soon as we can. We want to do that so that we're well prepared in advance of the camping season coming up, which, of course, will begin in earnest on Memorial Day, but presumably even before then, on state public land facilities. And so for this reason, we desire to use a commissioner's orders rather than the rulemaking process for designating what approved firewood will be on that will be allowed into the state forest campgrounds and the state parks.
Mr. Tomlinson, are there other areas where the commissioner acts under commissioner's orders rather than rulemaking under similar circumstances that you're aware of?
Madam Chair, I'm certain there are. I can't think of any specific right now to mention to you, but I know there are probably several places where we use commissioner's orders
instead of rulemaking.
That's correct.
Senator Saxog, I would suggest that you maybe get a couple of examples of those in case someone questions you about why this method rather than a more deliberate method of rulemaking. If there are other examples that have that kind of urgency to them, that I think that would be helpful, right, if anybody had a question. Yeah. About.
And Madam Chair, of course, the reason for this is the emerald ash borer, which is taking tree. And Madam Chair, this bill has some time-sensitive implications. As Mr. Tomlinson said, we're coming into the upcoming camping season, so we'd like to send it to the floor. And when it gets to the floor, I'll try to have those answers. So if you ask me the question on the floor, I'll see if I can answer.
Senator Vigerman, you have a question or
Madam
comment?
Chair, I've been following this wood bill for 2 months, pretty near. I'm just kind of curious. I see that if you violate it, then they come and confiscate the wood. But after May 2008, it's a petty misdemeanor penalty. That's been two seasons out there. Is there a reason? I'm just kind of curious. May is now. That'd be a whole nother. Why don't you move that up? If they don't know about that in 6 months, they'll never know about it.
Right. Yeah, Madam
Senator
Chair,
Saxog?
My answer to Senator Vickerman is probably we feel that people need a little time to be educated, and we're going to try our best to do that in the first year. And after the first year, it's shame on you.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Saxog, you know what I told the department. You better put a good publicity thing forward to get people. That's fine. I just
good advice,
curious.
Madam Chair, good advice, Senator.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition of the rulemaking authority being set aside for purposes of this bill? Seeing none, Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 420 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it will be sent to the floor then from?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much, members.
Senator Clark. Let's see. There's nobody here from that committee except me. Senator Loring, you have to do this for a second.
Okay, Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, I move the subcommittee report on Senate File 1366.
Senator Rust moves the subcommittee report on Senate Files 1366 be adopted. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Senator Clark, we have Senate File 1366 in front of us.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill today is trying to rectify a few things that relate to special elections. And I have with me Randy Schreifels from Stearns County, and he's going to talk kind of from the county's perspective. But one of the things that we found over the last decade or so, and it probably doesn't really matter who's governor, so I'm saying that to begin with because I'm not trying to make this be political, is that at times we have special elections being held around holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's around Christmas, New Year's, et cetera. And those are really times that we want people being able to focus on their family, celebrating their faith traditions. And frankly, we'd like them to pay attention when we actually have an election coming up. So the bill seeks to do a couple of different things, one of which is to basically say that we would be having not holding a special election within 5 days of a holiday, as defined by state statutes. So these are state holidays, and the committee report referenced that. The other thing is some cleanup language that has to do with notice, et cetera. And if it's okay, Madam Chair, what I'd like to do is have Mr. Schreifels talk about that.
Yes, that your A2 amendment, you mean?
Or yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I just would like to have him talk about what we are doing. And I need to make sure, Madam Chair, about since the committee report adopted, I think, our changes, I don't think we have another amendment, do we?
Mr. Watson, this amendment
sounds,
is to the
looks
subcommittee.
Looks to me like we have one that I just wasn't fully aware of, but yes.
Madam Chair, there is an amendment in the packets that's designed to address the problem of
yes.
Veterans Day.
And yes, it's Election Day, I believe, isn't it? So, Madam Chair, it would be great if we could go ahead and have the committee adopt that.
We do have the A2 amendments. Senator Lori moves the A2 amendment, and what this does is to get around the issue of allowing the special election to permitting it to be held on the same day as a regular primary or general election day, even though it's a special election. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, because occasionally Veterans Day would happen to be within that time frame.
Yes. We have Senator Lori's amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So we have Mr. Schreifels.
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the
record. Randy Schreifels, I'm the Stearns County Auditor Treasurer. Thank you. I think the main thing the bill is trying to do is, having run a number of special elections, it's always a very tight time frame to get things done and to give the voters an opportunity to do some absentee balloting and information about the election. And with the federal HAVA requirements, now having a machine required in the polling place and programming for that machine, the tighter time frames makes it more difficult yet. So that's one of the things this bill is trying to accomplish, is just add some reasonable time frames. It still won't allow absentee balloting for the military and even people out of the state. It's probably going to be pretty tight timelines for them. It's also clarifying some procedures that are in question when we do special elections, so to give election administrators some clarity in that. The county auditors and the election administrators in the state have approved this bill, and so has a Secretary of State. So,
are there any questions or comments for Senator Clark? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 1366, as amended, be recommended to pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill is passed. Senator Dill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Clark. Senator Dill brings us Senate File 1332. Allowing the Meeker County EDA to increase its members.
Thank you,
Senator
Madam.
Dill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 1332 is a very simple bill brought here on the request of the County Local Economic Development Authority, which was established before the general law was established in the year 2000. And at that time, there was only 7 members of the Meeker County Development Authority, and they want to increase that to 9, which is a standard. That's what's generally allowed for in current law. But because they were established before 2000, they only have 7. And the reason they want 9 is because there are 9 cities in Meeker County, 2 of which are very small, and the 7 bigger cities, they want one representative from each of the 7 cities plus 2 county commissioners which will represent the two small cities. So it's, I think it's pretty simple. And
sounds like a good plan.
I don't know of any controversy.
Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, I'm like the Senate counsel. I thought I did this one other time. Has this been done before, Senator counsel?
Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, it may very well have been, because before 2000, as Senator Dill said, there was no provision for a nine-member board. It could be three, five, or seven members, and some counties had three, some had five, some had seven. But in 2000, the general law was changed to allow for nine-member boards, but Meeker County was left out because their law was passed in 98. So we've probably done it for other counties.
Senator Vickerman and members, was anyone object to this going on the consent calendar? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, Senator Vickerman moves that Senate file 1332 be recommended to pass and placed on the consent calendar. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Senator Grandma Wergen. We understand you have a new addition to your family, Senator Wergen.
I do, and I've got to tell you, he's the cutest baby out there.
I doubt.
All 6.8 pounds of him. So, and Madam Chair, I thank you for indulging me by moving this hearing.
Is his name?
Lucas Michael.
Lucas Michael. Beautiful name.
Mom, Dad, and baby are all fine, and Grandma's wishing she was there.
Right.
So.
And you're bringing Senate File 1396. Is that correct?
I am, Madam Chair. In my first year here, I brought forward a bill to change the park dedication fees and the way they were handled for counties and stuff like that. And in my naivete at the time, I thought, oh, this is done. We won't have to deal with this again. However, as you've probably known for a long time, nothing's ever done here. So I'm back. We need to change a few things to make it as uniform as possible. We know that all cities and cities and counties and everything can't do everything alike, but we have to have as much uniformity as we can. Currently, the statute provides that a fee for parks on new development be based on the fair market value of the land at any point prior to final approval of the project. The new language, as it's approved, as it's proposed here and has been agreed to by everyone, says that the fee shall be based on the fair market value of unplatted, undeveloped land with sewer and water services or private well or community septic as required by law, so that we aren't all over the board as to what point of development the park fee is assessed, so that we kind of have some uniformity across the state. And it also says that for projects where land has been developed, the fair market value shall continue to be based on the current fair market value. So it doesn't take that away for something that's already been developed. It deals with that undeveloped land and at what point the value should be set for the park fees. So that's the essence of what it does. And Madam Chair, there should be an A2 amendment at the desk.
We have an A1 and an A2.
The A1, right.
Okay, the A1 amendment can be set aside. Is
that's
that correct,
correct.
Mr.
McGowan?
The author's amendment, the A2 amendment. Senator Roebling moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there further, do you want to further tell us about that A2 amendment?
Well, actually what I did is describe the A2 amendment because it clarifies the language in the original bill that was introduced. It just spells it out better so that some of the cities are a little bit more comfortable with the way it's worded in the A2, so it's an attempt to make it agreeable to everyone. And there are several folks here that are willing to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, why don't we hear from someone at least here. Where is your bill?
Madam Chair, would you like to hear from Mr. Peter Coyle?
That would be great.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Peter Coyle. I'm an attorney with Larkin Hoffman, but I represent the Builders Association of the Twin Cities. Language that's before you, Madam Chair and members, is consensus language. It's been worked out with the League of Cities, with the townships, with folks representing park administrators, as well as the large cities that have redevelopment issues. Mm-hmm. And it attempts to just clarify the manner in which park fee values are struck as part of the park ordinance process that they all have under statute. And it is conceptual language.
Thank you, Mr. Coyle. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Are there further comments or questions from the members?
I'll move the bill, Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 1396 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Metzen is on his way, so we could probably do one of my bills, Senator Lori.
Which one do you prefer?
Oh, you're here. Okay, no problem.
He's here.
Senator Metzen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Bringing us Senate File 1278, is that correct?
That's correct. Madam Chair, members, we're going to present kind of a different way of letting bids out for state and local governments building products. It's called Best Value Contracting, or another name is BFC. It's an alternative to current system of the government only taking what they call low bids. This is an alternative to this way of doing it. BVC uses the relationship between performance and price to achieve the best overall value and the lowest long-term cost of government construction. State and local government agency only allow today low bids for construction projects. Method would not mandate that they can't go the low bid, but would just include another option to what the government bidding folks can do. The University of Minnesota has done this a couple of times, I'm told, and they're very happy with this process of best value contracting for construction method. Other governments do it. I believe the federal government allows this way of bidding. I thought I heard maybe Hawaii does it this way or allows it to be done this way. So it's just another method for governments to look at, and it just doesn't mandate the so-called low bid. It gives the government agencies an option. And with me is the president of the Minnesota Trades, Mr. Dick Anfang, to probably visit with the committee. But I know they've done a couple of years of talking and listening and looking at this method of bidding and going around and seeing how it's done at other governmental agencies. And he's got a good story to tell, and hopefully it won't be too long.
Senator Metzen, since this is the first committee that this bill has been to, we would like to kind of go through it section by section just to make sure we understand what it is. Would you like to do that? Would you like counsel to do it? Is there someone of your testifiers that could take us through it section by section?
Yes, if we could bring Rich Miller from the law firm of Miller & O'Brien.
Mr. Miller.
Chairman Rest, members of the committee, my name is Dick Anfang. I'm the president of the Minnesota State Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent construction trades workers throughout the state of Minnesota, and we spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars in cooperation with our contractors every year training the current and future workforce in the construction industry. This issue, as Senator Metzen indicated, became quite interested in it because we truly believe that contractors that use our members as their skilled workforce contribute to, under this method of potential method of contracting, should it be allowed as an alternative. One of the criteria is one of the things that will show the difference between a best value contractor and one that's less of value is a trained, skilled workforce. So we're betting that if this comes to fruition, it'll affect our members beneficially in more than one way. As taxpayers, it certainly will benefit them because, as the name of the bill indicates, best value. And if you can consider skill levels, risk assessment, other things that go into this, then the state and other local governments will get a better value, and they'll still get a very competitive price. In that vein, we took it upon ourselves to become educated on this process, how it works here and other places in the country, and we sought out the help and assistance of the law firm of Miller & O'Brien, who can walk you through the bill and with the legalese of what your questions might be. Thank you.
Mr. Miller, welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record. We'd like to have an explanation of the bill section by section. Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Richard Miller, and as Mr. Anfang indicated, I am the attorney for the Minnesota State Building and Construction Trades Council. And we've worked with Mr. Anfang and other drafters in the House and the Senate and Senator Metzen in drafting this bill. Okay. And I want everyone to understand that we are trying hard to involve all of the stakeholders in this process. I can't represent to you right now that we have complete consensus from everyone, but we are working with the Department of Transportation, the Department of Administration, and we've dealt with some of the contractor groups, and we've had three stakeholder meetings, the latest one this morning. So we're working towards...
Mr. Miller, what we really want is an explanation of the bill.
Yeah, thank you, Senator, and I just wanted to make sure that you understood that we're working with all
yes.
kinds of constituent groups here. The again, as a preface to the comments to the bill itself, it does not do away with low bid. Low bid and best value are two alternatives that an agency may use. And I don't have the engrossed copy of the bill in front of me, and I'm just going through document. Let me see.
We'll provide you with a copy of the bill, sir.
I can give you what I think is the bill that's in front of you.
No, we want you to tell us section by section with dealing with the language. The page will bring you a copy of the bill. It's too long for us to read ourselves, so we need the explanation, Senator Metzen.
Thank you. Senator, the first one, Section 1, is a definitional section, and it defines best value. And it defines best value as, quote, the result obtained by a method of procurement that considers price and other performance criteria, including, and then we list these separate items, but price and performance. So it's price and performance. Price is listed first, performance listed second. So price is an important element. Definitional, again, what is a vendor? Acquisition authority really made very few changes in the current statute. And may I at this point just kind of digress just a little bit, but we have different what I'll call client agencies. The largest of the two, of course, are the Department of Administration and the Department of Transportation. Each has a little different method of going about doing what they do. Recently, there has been a significant change by the adoption of what's called design-build legislation, contractor-at-risk legislation, I'm losing the last definitional. It's job order contracting. These are kind of variations of best value contracting that permit the agencies to do something other than be bound by just the low bid. The goal, of course, in all three of those, as in best value, is to get the best deal for the taxpayer, the best price, the best quality of a project. So that ground has already been plowed, and we are trying in this bill to provide for a method of, if I may use the term, procurement, that will be a contractor selection process that will consider things other than low bid. The problem with the current legislation, that is a low bid legislation, is that the state agencies are bound outside of the other types of contracting to give the bid to the lowest responsible bidder. And the question always is, well, what's a responsible bidder? That has produced all kinds of, you know, for my profession, lots of gainful employment. What we want to try to do here is to move away from the low bid and then the undefined responsible bidder. Move
Mr.
into
Miller,
a different process.
We're happy to have your testimony, but I think it will be to the best use of our time here if you'll go through the bill for us, and then you can come back and give your testimony
okay.
for it. So we're at Section 4.
So Section 4, again, is an amendment to the acquisition authority that will that is under Section 16C.03, provide for the best value to be applied in the agency's option in all kinds of different types of construction.
Okay, so Section 5 looks to be technical.
Section
so
5 is...
Section
yeah,
6?
A couple of these things I should mention to the committee. We have, through our conversations with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Administration, change this a little bit, that they would like some changes, and we're willing to make those changes. So some of the things that you see here in the final bill may not appear. Subdivision 16.
No, we're at Section 6.
Excuse me, Section 6
okay.
is
Subdivision
16.
Okay.
Of 16C03. Again, that's to make technical. Thank you, Senator. Again, Section 7 is technical. Section 8, again, technical. Section 9, again, I'll use that term, technical. Section 10, technical.
Now, when you mean technical, you mean it's referencing being able to use the
correct.
Best value again.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
And we talk about vendor or contractor, we talk about it. Or is authorized under Section 16C28, which is, I think, Section 12. We'll get to that later. Now we get to Section 12. That's the amendment to Section 16C28. And, again, this is more substantive, and as a result of the conversations with the stakeholder groups, this section may be different in the final bill than what you see here today. But, again, the purpose of this amendment...
Why would it be different than what we're seeing here today? This is the bill as introduced.
Well, what we're trying to do is to engage the Department of Transportation, the Department of Administration, contractor groups, other
so
groups.
So you're still, Senator Metzen, you're still working on this bill. Is
work in progress. Apparently, we.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Section 12 talks about lowest responsible bidders, the
yes.
best value issue,
help?
And what kinds of responsibilities a vendor or contractor has to undertake.
Correct.
Madam Chair, I might add we've had, three hearings in the House already, and it seems like each subsequent hearing we have, we've improved this bill, and I think that's what the...
Do we have those amendments?
Our counselor was... Does this include the amendments from the House?
Like just the introduced copy, Senator Metzen.
We have some of the amendments here, but we have others that we're working on that have not finally been proposed and made yet. We're still working and negotiating with the constituency groups.
Senator Metzen, do you have amendments to your bill?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling?
I'm wondering if this bill shouldn't be laid over. I do have some concerns about it myself as I'm looking at it. And maybe these are being addressed. For example, are you proposing that we allow either the low bid or the BVC process for all contracts in the state? Or are you proposing that we start out with a percentage of the contracts, maybe 25%, see how it works? If it works well, we can expand it. you know, I'm just a little worried as I look at this that too often then we could be looking at only businesses who have done business with the state, and the others who don't have a track record get shut out. And I don't know that that's in the best interest of the state either, because you'd have to have someone who has done business with the state to see what their performance and quality and timeliness was. How do you assess a new business that's trying to break into state bidding and getting a contract from the state? And so, you know, I do have some concerns about it, and it appears that this would be permissible for all contracts at this point.
Senator Metzen?
Yeah, I don't think we have to be nervous about anything innovative or new. I mean, we did the design build on two, three buildings around here. The Transportation Department has done some of that fast-track stuff. And this just builds on that concept. And there's nothing – I mean, you can just keep the low bid if that's how you feel. I mean, just don't do what we're talking about here. We're just giving you one more option. And if you don't like it, don't do it. But it's been proven at the University of Minnesota, and I should have brought somebody in here from the U, how they've done at least one building, probably two, in this method, and they really like it. Mm-hmm. And I heard from a professor from Arizona that lives and breathes this stuff. He's written many articles and books about it. I sat and listened to him for about 3 hours one morning, and the guy really made sense. And again, don't do it if you got a trouble, but it just gives you one more option.
And Madam Chair?
And we can refine this. It's not, this is our first stop here, and I think we got one or two more maybe, and I know you want to do all your the best work you can here, and I have no problems with that. But if you'd like, we'd bring it back a couple days from now or a week from now, if you, you know. But we want to get this started. It's a very interesting concept.
Senator Roman?
I'm convinced.
I appreciate that, that you know that we
sure.
Want to
do your work here, and I have no
our,
problems with that.
Do our work here and no. Maybe take some of the amendments that have been agreed to and put them on here if they're under the jurisdiction of our committee.
Always come back on this one.
And since this is a rather lengthy bill, Senator Metzen, I wonder if that would be okay if we took a look at it for a couple of days and then brought it back on Wednesday. Would you object?
Yeah, I just with the assurance, and I think you've just given
we'll
it to me.
We'll act on it on Wednesday.
That you will, you know, we can work on it a little bit more in the next couple of days, and I'll get a hold of those amendments that the House put out and see if they're fine. But
they
with
here.
The assurance that we're back on track and
on Wednesday.
And Wednesday, and I think we can. Senator Roebling,
I think that would make us feel more comfortable.
And in the meantime, Senator Roebling or others, if you have some ideas, get to me or whatever. And
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just an idea. When we started design build, we started out with a very low percent of projects that could actually use that. It was almost like pilot projects. Mm-hmm. There's still people who disagree
with
design
build. It's limited to 10%.
Right, and that's why I'm a little nervous about this, because I think we need to maybe start out at a smaller scale, see how it works, and then come back again.
I do think it's a good idea. I like the idea of it. Senator Vickerman?
Senator Roebling, I look at it different. There's an option. You don't have to use it if you don't want to, unless I'm not reading the bill right. But, Madam Chair, I think your committee is just about a couple more times, so we just don't have the luxury of.
Well, we can meet up. We can meet in
April.
You
can bring it back, and I think we ought to look it over.
Yeah, we can do that.
And move it on.
Thank
Senator Metzen, we'll lay it over.
Yeah,
we'll
I
look
appreciate
at it, and
that.
We will act on it on Wednesday, and maybe we can take a look at some of the improvements made in the House that are okay with you and put them on there.
Madam Chair, I really appreciate that. And we're not going to do – I mean, this is going to go slow. I mean, we're not going to do tons of these to begin with. I know it. It'll be very slow like design build.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Senator Metzen, Mr. Anfang, Mr. Miller. Senator Lynch, are you here?
He just going along with the building.
Senator Lynch brings us Senate File 759.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a handout for members of your committee. I want to begin by recognizing and thanking Senators Erickson Rope, Stenjum, Fischbach, and Sharon for working with me on this particular piece of legislation. And we are here today because in 2005, the Minnesota legislature requested a study of local and regional quality assurance models that might ultimately be adopted statewide. Much of that work has been completed, and this is kind of the reporting back, if you will. And specifically, this bill seeks to address a quality assurance model that would cover all disability groups in the state of Minnesota. And over time, in processing our waivers that we get from the federal government, there has been an increasing, and I think to their credit, an increasing component put on quality, which I think is very good. And this is an effort for Minnesota to be at the forefront of that discussion. And Madam Chair, I do have one amendment. It's the A2 amendment, I think, that has been distributed. And perhaps before I introduce my testifiers.
Senator Lynch, we don't have the, or I don't have the A2 amendment. And Senator Lynch, really what we are, our jurisdiction in this committee is not the substance of your bill. It is justifying why we should give up the sunset. That's the only thing we really want to hear about.
Okay. I have two people with me today that I will ask them to speak to that, and maybe during that time we can get the amendment passed out.
And since this is not the first committee for this bill, you need to explain the A2 amendment.
Would you like me to do that at this time?
Yes, do that at this time, if you will.
The A2 amendment I'm asking as a courtesy to be placed on at this particular stop, so that at which time we leave this committee, the bill will be put in a more attractive position to have a fiscal note attached to it. And so what this amendment does, it actually addresses Section 4, the appropriation.
You're deleting the appropriation?
We're not deleting the full appropriation, but about 50% of it. So just working towards the greater good. So if you would give some consideration to making that amendment here, I would be thankful.
The problem, Senator Lynch, is that this committee doesn't have jurisdiction over doing that specifically, but it's up to the members. If you want to do that by making this bill go faster for Senator Lynch by deleting part of the appropriation, I'm open to that, but we have to understand that that's not, Senator Lynch, that's not our jurisdiction.
Duly noted. Again, I'm just
Senator
asking.
Lurie?
I'll move the A2 amendment.
Senator Lurie moves the A2 amendment. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? No. The amendment motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Now we need to hear about the removing the sunset,
okay,
as opposed to extending it, because I'm probably going to have an amendment to extend the sunset.
Okay.
Sir?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Dan Zimmer. I direct the Region 10 Quality Assurance Commission. We desire to see the removal of our sunset date. We were established in 1998, and have been working to make improvements in people's lives for the last 10 years. Right now, our current sunset date is 6/30/2009. I believe there was it was mistakenly put as a different date on that 12 questions this morning. When our counties are reviewing our alternative licensing system, they don't see us as permanent. Some have stated to us that they do not want to change their system with the chance that in a few years they may need to change back to the other system if our sunset date is not extended. The removal of this sunset date would help us to be seen as a permanent alternative for counties in our state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Did you want to testify, sir?
Madam Chair, I'm Steve Larson with the ARC of Minnesota, and I just want to endorse what Mr. Zimmer said in regards to the extending or eliminating the sunset date so that this program can move towards expansion throughout the state.
Senator Lynch, we get these programs and commissions and so on. And we like the opportunity to review them. And the way we get the chance to review them, like what you're bringing before us today, is by having a sunset date. And I'm going to suggest that we not remove the sunset date, but maybe extend it another 5 years so that, the project would expire on June 30th, 2014, which gives you a good long time. And I think people out in the community would take the actions that you all do and the recommendations that you make on more than a temporary basis. Senator Lynch?
Senator Rest, thanks for
would
your
that
comments.
Is that amenable to
that
you?
That would be that's certainly workable.
Okay, Senator.
5 years.
Senator Lori moves that. Senator, Mr. Bodern, how would we move that on line 118 and on 225?
Madam Chair, on page 1, line 18, reinstate the stricken language and delete 2009, and then I assume there you want the date of 2014.
That's correct.
And then on page 2, lines 24 and 25, reinstate the stricken language, and on line 25, delete 2009 and insert 2014.
Okay, that's Senator Lori's motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So we have a sunset reinserted, but at a lengthier time. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Are there further comments from the members? Senator Roebling.
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure I understand what the panel is for. Because we give waivers for community and home-based services, this panel reviews the quality of the programs provided under the waivers. Is that correct?
Mr. Zimmer.
Madam Chair, Senator, I think when we talked about the QA panel where that report is from, that's a separate organization than ourselves. That was a stakeholder group that was collected and worked for 2 years to develop a vision for our state. Our organization began from our stakeholders, very similar stakeholders in our area, and we do an alternative licensing system on behalf of Department of Human Services where we build it on what's called a voice review. We individually interview a person and their quality circle, all the people that are connected with them, as a start of our quality assurance assessment versus taking a look at files and planning. Our last step is looking at the files and planning, but we start with the person and we end with the person. What you're seeing in that report there, the QA panel was put forth a recommendation that our state needs to move more towards regional efforts similar to ourselves, but not exactly like ourselves. And the legislation here is actually asking for a stakeholder group to be formed to advise DHS, which is different than Region 10 Quality Assurance Commission. And I know that that's confusing because there's just so much different stuff going on with this bill, but we're here to talk about our sunset date.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
So does this group that we're going to extend the sunset on, will they service the whole state or just a region?
The group that we're talking about, the Region 10 Quality Assurance Commission, works in Region 10, which is the southeastern part of Minnesota. And we do have some expansion efforts throughout the state, but we're focused mostly in our area.
Any further questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
I just have a quick question. I was just wondering, it says on the bottom of page 2, all members may be reimbursed for expenses related to the commission activities. How do they get their money? Is it fund that's already there? I'm just curious.
I think they operate with a with an appropriation, Senator Vickerman.
That's correct.
That's what we amended. Madam Chair.
That's part of what we amended, or you all amended, out of the bill.
That's what I was just going to say. We just took the appropriation out.
Not all of it, though. Just part of it. Is there further discussion? Senator Lurie moves that Senate File 759, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, members.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bach. Senator Bach is the second author on Senate File 1133. And which relates to the appointment of a civil service director. It looks like you're helping us take a lot of language out of the statutes here, Senator Vox.
Madam Chair, I believe St. Louis County is the only county that still operates under a civil service system.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't change that, but what we do change with the bill is we change the appointment of the civil service director from being appointed by the Civil Service Commission to the Board of Commissioners and then make that an unclassified position. That's all we really do. I have with me Dana Fry, the county administrator from St. Louis County here, that could speak to the bill if members
okay.
have questions.
I think we'd just some little bit of history about why we would want to do this, Mr. Fry. Why St. Louis County wants to change this.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senators.
And you need to identify yourself.
My name is Dana Fry. I am the St. Louis County Administrator. The reason for the urgency, especially at this point, is our longtime civil service director is about to retire. He's turned in his retirement papers. He will be retiring on the 1st of July. Absent this change, the Civil Service Commission then would go through a process whereby they would select a civil service director. It is our intent in working with our unions to look at the entire issue of civil service to begin the movement towards a system of a modern employee relations department. And to do that, we feel it's important to select someone who will assist us in that effort. Mm-hmm. That's why we're recommending that the civil service director be selected in the same manner as any other department head.
Got it. Any questions for Mr. Fry or Senator Bach? Senator Vickerman.
I'd like to move this bill because all we're doing is giving the county commissioners the authority to appoint a civil service director. So I would move the bill.
Okay. Let me just make sure that no one has any other questions, comments from the public, either in favor or in opposition. Seeing none, Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 1133 be recommended to pass. Senator Bach, is this a bill that could go on the consent calendar, or do you think it needs more discussion than that on the floor?
I think it could go on the consent calendar.
Okay. Is there any objection to it going on the consent calendar? Senator Vickerman?
Madam Chair, I would move that this, which number is it? Whatever, 1133 be recommended to pass and be put on, placed on the consent calendar.
Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 1133 be recommended to pass and placed on the consent calendar. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Bach.
Thank you.
On Senator Tomasoni's behalf, Senator Larson. Just in time. Senator Larson brings us Senate File 1807. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 1807, Madam Chair, I'd like to first, you have an A1 amendment? Or an amendment, I'm sure, if it's A1.
It is 0374, the A07 amendment.
Yeah, I believe that is the, I think there's only one amendment to the bill.
Okay, so Senator Larson moves the A07-0374 amendment. It's an author's amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 1807 is brought to you, and this was brought to me by Hennepin County, as we have tried to address a potential issue, an issue that we're facing as it relates to the Hennepin County or Hennepin Healthcare System, which is a subsidiary of Hennepin County, as it relates to our current conflict of interest laws. And the reason that that we bring this to you is that because of membership on the board of the healthcare organization, there are some inherent conflicts with what state law calls for. In addition to that, this clarifies, in fact, what state law will apply to members of this board. The amendment that we adopted ensures that the public official, such as any Hennepin County board member, is not exempted from conflict of interest laws. That the meat of the bill, in fact, accomplishes, because we have some members of the board that are employees of the county. Madam Chair, I would like to introduce Andy Mitchell, who is an assistant Hennepin County attorney that can provide some of the circumstance that brings us here.
Senator Larson, could you just say again, how do they do it now, or they don't?
Well, Madam Chair, that's one of the open questions we're trying to resolve, to make sure that we have a conflict of interest law that covers all those that we wouldn't like to cover.
Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Andy Mitchell. I'm an assistant Hennepin County attorney, and our office represents both the Hennepin County Board of Directors and the entity which is Hennepin Healthcare System, Inc., through its Board of Directors. This is the public subsidiary corporation that you created in 2005 to operate the HCMC hospital. And we're really here because that legislation did not specifically address what conflict of interest standard ought to apply to the conflicts that naturally come up in the operation of Hennepin Healthcare System, Inc. It seemed most logical to us to adopt the familiar conflict of interest standard from 317A, which is the Minnesota nonprofit statute. And that conflict of interest standard very generally says that if you have a conflict as a director, you disclose it to the other directors, you abstain from voting, and if they approve it by a majority vote, then it is a valid contract between the entity and the whoever's on the other end of the conflict and the contract. What we're trying to do here is to clarify that the public official standard, which exists in statute and is quite strict, that conflict of interest standard says that if you're a public official and you're contracting with the entity, that contract is void and you've committed a gross misdemeanor unless an exception is found. And even if there is an exception, if it's the exception that has to do with professional services, you need to file an affidavit that says that the price that you're getting is a fair and reasonable price and, in fact, is lower than the price can be, than the same commodity or service can be obtained anywhere else in the community. So it imposes on people who contract with the corporation a kind of an onus to say, not only is this a fair and reasonable price, but I've surveyed the market and this is the lowest possible price. That seemed like quite a burden to put on the community members who are on the Hennepin Healthcare System Board of Directors. The amendment that was added today is was suggested to us in the House last week and was really trying to say the statute says that we have two county commissioners who serve on this board and we don't mean to exempt them from the public official standard.
Good
and,
amendment.
And that is, in fact, no one had that intention, so it was a very helpful suggestion.
Senator Roebling.
I'm still a little confused. Could you give me a scenario of when, just give me a people scenario of when this might be an issue that you're trying to correct.
Right. One of the things that the statute, the enabling statute did was to say to the county board, you create the bylaws. And so in drafting the bylaws, they said, we want the chief executive officer of the hospital to serve as a voting member of the board of directors. So by bylaw, Lynn Abrahamson, who is the administrator, is on this board of directors. Well, she has a personal financial interest in her employment contract. So when they vote and say, we set your salary at X, if we were to follow the public official standard to its logical conclusion, she would have to file an affidavit that says, I'm providing you service, these services, the fair value of those services of X is X, and in fact, you can't go out into the community and buy these services for any less than X. And whatever X is, I suspect you could say, is that really true, that no one would work for $1 less than you're getting, and is this, and when the penalty for violation is a gross misdemeanor, I will tell you that as an attorney advising these members of the board, it makes me nervous to say, look, I think you're following the law, but it's quite gray here, and it just doesn't seem like that should be the kind of gross misdemeanor thing that we were trying to catch with the public official standard.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, in other words, this would exempt them exempt her from having to file that statement.
Correct.
But she would still excuse herself on any vote to do with her contract.
Absolutely.
Madam, I'm sorry, Senator Roblin.
I've got my answer.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on Senate File 1807? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Senator Larson moves that Senate File 1807 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have
Chairman.
A preference for the order in which we'll take up these bills?
We have two bills, and since Mr. Lair has joined me here, why don't we take that one first. We had a beginning hearing on this on Senate File 1755 last week. We had some issues raised by the Department of Administration with regard to this joint powers purchasing by nonprofits. Mr. Lair and Mr. Allen have met and resolved the ambiguity that had been brought up, and that resolution is represented in the A1 amendment, which I will move at this time.
Okay. This is not an author's amendment as it's been before us. Any questions or clarification? Okay. Senator Rust moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman and members, what this then does allow is the charities that are part of now the amendment to be able to have access to the state's purchase plans, which means that they get essentially discounts that were already in state law for some of the other nonprofits. Mr. Lair is here from the United Way organization and will answer any questions about what benefit this brings to them.
It appears that the Senate Council description of the bill is of the original bill, correct? Okay, so the description you'll find is not of the author's amendment, which
correct. It doesn't represent the delete everything amendment, right?
Right. So, okay, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Hey, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Byron Lair. I'm an employee of United Way in the Twin Cities, and I'm here representing all 39 United Ways across the state, and with the new amendment, probably a couple of other charities as well. The state has a purchase plan right now and pre-negotiates prices on a variety of products. There are a few charitable organizations that are allowed to participate in that plan. This amendment would extend that to two other groups of charities, each of which has some kind of a relationship with the state of Minnesota. The first group are registered combined charitable organizations and their affiliates. Those are agencies that have been approved to solicit state employees for contributions. The second group are charities that have state contracts or grants where it's in the best interest of the state to allow those organizations to buy products at a discount. And, we think this is a pretty good idea. It's a good deal for the state and obviously a good deal for the charitable organizations. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, this does it without considering charitable organizations a unit of government, correct? Right. So
correct.
I think Mr. that. Chair. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, we don't.
Any members? Anyone from the audience care to speak either for or against this bill?
I'm not sure.
Seeing none, Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, then I would move that Senate File 1755 as amended be recommended to pass.
Senator Rust moves Senate File 1755 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senate File 1949.
Mr. Chairman, bring now Senate File 1949. This is a bill having to do with the Sesquicentennial Commission, which was established last year. The experience that that commission has had, as well as our review of state laws, is what's brought about the guidelines that I picket people about when they bring bills to this this committee, because if we had had some of those guidelines in place, we would have had a much easier time coming into being. And I will tell you that the chief author of the legislation that was so incomplete was myself. So. It was been a good learning experience for me. One of the things that the Sesquicentennial Commission will be engaged in is in giving grants to local communities to carry out the celebratory nature of our 150th birthday of statehood. There was really no provision in law for them to be able to deal with accepting grant, accepting private funds, and also giving out grants to those local communities. And so what we're doing in this bill is a couple of things. One is noting that what we're not going to be doing is recommending capital projects, but instead giving grants. The powers of those grants, the power of the commissions with in regard to accepting of the grants and donations, et cetera. And then thirdly, a provision that allows the commission, which has members from all over the state, to be able to conduct their meetings by establishing a quorum through the telephone. We are dealing with this bill here. In a moment, I want you to meet Ms. Jane Leonard, who is the executive director now for the Sesquicentennial Commission, appointed in just in the last month or so. She's been doing a great job for us. She's wearing our logo pin, and Senator Betzel and I, along with Senators Pariseau and Olson, are the Senate members of the Sesquicentennial Commission. So I will let her testify for just a moment and briefly, and then we'll get back to an amendment that I'm going to make.
Ms. Leonard, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and offer your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jane Leonard, and I am the Executive Director of the Sesquicentennial Commission. I am happy to be here and wanted to introduce myself, and if there are any questions to answer. As Senator Rest said, this bill really gives us the ability to carry out our duties, and the purpose of the original language for the Sesquicentennial Commission, and we've got lots of people pounding on the door, and we'd like to be able to enter into contracts and seek partnerships. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have visited with Senator Betzold and Senator Cohen about where some of this language should be carried, and they agreed that we would not need to send the whole bill to the Finance Committee. If we deleted lines 217 through 223, and then that language will be placed in the State Department's budget bill as a rider, since it does deal with the appropriation that is in the or it will at least go to the Finance Committee. Actually, I think the governor's bill on that, Mr. Bodern, too, is in the Senator Tomasoni's division. We'll have to see where that would appropriately go. But otherwise, the language giving them the ability to have telephone conferencing meetings can then just go to the floor. So I would move that Mr. Bodern, I need some help here. Could we just take out the language from 217 to 223, or would it be better to take out all of Section 1 and move that in for consideration by the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, let's see if you – I think you can accomplish your purpose if you do want the remaining provisions to travel separately to the floor. It's quite possible to remove subdivision 4A
and then just leave
it intact. The only minor technical amendment you'd need would be to renumber on page 2, line 24, delete 4B and make that 4A just for the time being, put it in the proper order.
Then, Mr. Chairman, that would be my motion to delete section 4A and to renumber subdivision 4B to 4A.
Senator Rest moves to delete lines 217 to 223 and renumber subdivision 4A. Does everybody understand this? All in favor of this motion? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then I would move that Senate File 1949, as amended, be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest moves Senate File 1949, as amended, be recommended to pass. Any questions of the members? Anyone from the audience care to speak either for or against this bill? Seeing none, we have Senator Rest motion before us. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, there's no further business before the committee.
Being no further business before the committee will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.